How would you like to become a prosperous entrepreneur? Sid Mohasib will tell us how to do it. He is the founder of Anabasis Academy. So, Sid, tell us, how can entrepreneurs become prosperous? And how does mindset have something to do with that?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Mindset has everything to do with it. You see a lot of stuff. People fall in love, the one, two, threes of do this and this and this, and you'll achieve this. But everything is practical based on who you are. Meaning, I'm different than you. There are 8 billion people on the planet. They're all different. So the question is, how do you take all this information and how do you make it practical for you so that you can achieve prosperity, you can achieve your best version? Next best version. The way to do that begins in your mindset. The way you look at your comfort zone, the way which I call the death zone, the way you look at change, the way you look at the fear, the way you look at courage, and all of that begins in our minds. What that means is that people talk about mindfulness in a kind of a woo-woo way, you know. Oh, you go look at and kind of ponder about the facts of life and be detached. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being aware of who you are, what the environment is, what your capabilities are, and what you can be achieved. Like a butterfly and a caterpillar. Life is not like IKEA. It doesn't come with some sort of instructions. We build it in steps. So it's not a switch we flip and say, well, here we go. So the idea of fusing mindfulness, and I call it actuated mindfulness, that means it is not by being detached, it's by being very attached to capabilities and accomplishments. It's by looking at challenges and opportunities in a way that fits you as you are. Every one of us is very unique. There are 8 billion people on our planet. They're all different. So this notion that there is one recipe that drives everybody to a nirvana, it just is not practical. Now, what is practical is to use the talents that we have to accomplish more in steps. Now, I define entrepreneurship perhaps a little bit differently than some other folks may. It's not about money. Entrepreneurship is an entrepreneur by definition is someone who has something, who wants to exchange it with something better of higher value, knowing that there is risk, knowing that there is risk. There is no definition of what you have. It could be your ideas, it could be your time, it could be a product. And what you call as a higher value is also defined by you. So the question is, how do you manage, navigate the risk between of what you have and what you want to gain? And that's the entrepreneurship process. And it also involves the mindfulness of how you look at things and how you put the pieces of the puzzle together. Does that make sense?
Yes. Tell us more about what do you mean exactly by mindfulness, and how can an entrepreneur incorporate it into what they do in order to
Perfect.
become prosperous?
Perfect. Perfect. So here's mindfulness by definition means awareness. Awareness begins with things like listening. For example, 96% of the people, if you ask them, they say, I'm a good listener. In fact, only 24% listen. So why is that important? It's not important. Yes, I know a lot of people say, "Oh, you have to be understanding of others and have empathy and listen to." This is a very selfish thing. You are very selfishly need to listen because you make decisions based on information. We all do. So if you listen, you gain more information. So your decisions are going to be better. That means you have to be aware. Awareness is practiced. It's something that I'll say, oh, I have these biases. I heard what Lily told me. And these are the biases that I have. Let me be aware of those biases. And then filter through those. And then listen to what you're saying in order to learn. Awareness is about our situations. For example, people say, be fearless. I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, fear is an alert system in you. So if I'm ignorant of it, I'm you know, your car says you're running out of gas. Oh, be fearless. Let's go. Well, I'm going to run out of gas. That's stupid, right? But we have these things that are in our culture, and people have put it, shoved it into one-liners on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook. And it has become, you know, fail fast, fail often. Why? Who? It's a stupid idea to fail. No entrepreneur should ever look to fail. They should look to learn, even if it's somebody else's failure. I'm not against failure. Failure can teach you, but it's not an objective. It's not an objective. So what I'm saying, being aware, is being aware of the elements that construct who we are and building our unique, authentic leadership approach. We can read hundreds and hundreds of books on leadership, but nobody in the world practices a single type of leadership. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes you're transactional. Sometimes you got to be bureaucratic. Sometimes you have to be democratic. It's you fit it based on who you're leading, when this leadership is happening. Is it in a crisis? Is it not in a crisis? Are they old, young? What culture? Your leadership style changes. So the key is learning is at the core of being a good entrepreneur. Listening, being aware. Now, those practices are essentially things that are learned. They are a choice. You make a choice to be prosperous. And you define what prosperous is. It doesn't mean that you got to have $1 trillion. It could be that you're prosperous if you get enough money to send your kids to college, and that's perfectly fine. You choose. So the idea is as the follows. You said, how do you mindfulness gets you to prosperity? A, believe that you are designed in your genes to exchange what you have with something better. You have a choice. B, change is not your enemy. It's the only friend that gives you options. Embrace it. It's a good thing. Now, too much change, if you do it randomly, it has a devil in it. It could take you into the wrong directions. Three, be aware. Aware of your environment, aware of your capabilities, aware of your team's capabilities, aware of your customers, aware of your employees, aware of the investors, aware of every pillar that holds up the organization, aware of the society, aware of the partners that you deal with, aware of what their reasons are to engage with you.
Thank you. How can I leverage my uniqueness to become a prosperous entrepreneur?
Here's the thing. I have a book called You Are Not Them. Here's the idea. The idea is, Lily, you're not Elon Musk. You are not Jeff Bezos. You're not me. You're not the guy across the street who runs the restaurant. You are you. There is no other way but to leverage your uniqueness. We've fallen in love with these ideas of 1, 2, 3. This is practical. It's practical for who, Lily? Practical for who? You define what is practical for you. And that's based on your uniqueness. Your uniqueness is what? So let's explore what I mean by uniqueness. Uniqueness is not that you went to this school or that school. We're all unique because we were raised in different environments, come from different cultures. We had different parents. We had different financial capabilities. We played with different toys. We fell in love with different people. We failed in different places, in different classes. We succeeded in different places. All of those, the collective of all of those, has made you you. That's your uniqueness. So if I believe that I can give you something practical, I've got to know you better than you. So the only one that can make something practical for you is you. The trick is to put the pieces of the puzzle together. You can, I know this is a lot of responsibility. People like, we love as a society to work like IKEA, his instructions, do this and this and this and boom, you're gonna get there. But true prosperity, sustainable prosperity, prosperity that's not based on success measures defined by others. If you're an attorney, you're successful. If you're a doctor, you're successful. If you're a singer, you're successful. It's based on success. Based on success that is externally defined. Prosperity is based on your satisfaction, Lily. How you uniquely are satisfied. Is it a better home? Is it is it two kids that are fantastically kind? Is it better husband? Is it a better boyfriend? Is it a better girlfriend? Is it what you define what satisfaction is? And good entrepreneurs do not focus on the money. They focus on satisfaction, not only theirs, but their customers, but their employees, because there has to be harmony. There has to be harmony in building a business, in building an entrepreneurial effort. And that harmony comes from your unique, authentic leadership, how you apply courage, how you apply not courage just to move forward, but courage to say, okay, I'm going to take a different path. I don't care about somebody judging me that it didn't work. Does that make sense?
Yes. Tell us, how can I leverage my uniqueness to create a prosperous idea that can be communicated effectively to investors, so much so that they see my uniqueness and they want to invest in my idea?
So here's the thing. I have invested in many, many companies. Some have gone public. Some are, I've sold, I've run, I've established four or five companies. And here's one thing. Believe it or not, the investors are looking for your uniqueness. Whether you realize it or not, a lot of people come in the room and then try to be somebody else. That fakeness comes true. So they are looking for you and how you look at the world, how you put the pieces of the puzzle together, and that uniqueness is actually your advantage. So that's step one. Without you trying to be unique, without you trying to be something different, if you are, which you are, if you put that together in a way that is coherent, cohesive, and not say, I'm going to do what so-and-so does, and people know the Xerox copy of a document is very different than the original. You will never be somebody else. They're not stupid. Okay, so your uniqueness is your uniqueness. Now, the authenticity of that you bring to a table, if you want, you're going to an investor, comes through from the lens that you view the world. And what do I mean? What I mean is, you're not solving a problem for you. You're solving a problem for all the other people who are going to use it. An investor doesn't pay you to solve your own problem because you think you're smart. Your uniqueness is not the fact that you're smart. Your uniqueness is your view of having found a worthy problem to solve, not for you, for others. Your uniqueness doesn't come in the fact that I'm a greedy person and I want to make a lot of money and have three boats. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for you being able to understand customers and be able to lead employees, to be able to work as a team with the investors. So you can be unique. You should be unique. But the fact that you're unique doesn't mean that you are separated. It doesn't mean that you are lack understanding of the environment that you need to win it.
Thank you. How can I leverage my traumas and at the same time the things that I excel at because of my traumas in order to create a solution for people perhaps like me that have experienced a certain problem that I now have a solution for, and how do I correctly communicate it to?
Perfect question, Lily. So here's the thing: people don't buy a solution, unlike what is taught. I'm a professor at USC. I teach at MBAs, but people do not buy a solution. They buy value. Okay, they buy value, and what value? The value that they like to exchange with. There's this illusion that that we sell. We don't, we have no decision in revenue generation. The decision is the buyer. The buyer decides if they want to buy. You decide if you want to buy a car or a bottle of water or go on a vacation. The cruise company that has the ships doesn't decide for you. You decide. The car company doesn't decide for you. You decide. So here's the thing. The ability to be able to tap into those reasons becomes the reason that people would buy. So you're creating a solution as a means to an end. The end is satisfying that need. So if you have a need, which is perfect, I was talking to an entrepreneur yesterday. Her mother had fallen down and her shoulder had some issues. She had herself had some issues. Her father had some issues. And all of them were patterns that when they went to physical therapy, it didn't work for them because it was not sustainable. It wasn't measured. She had come up with this medical device that solved that problem. She had experienced it. She had seen other experiences. Investors love that because it is a personal experience, but it's applicable to a lot of people. So you can take your uniqueness and your view of the world. But if you have a solution, say, well, you know, I think people should not drink out of round bottles of water. They should drink out of a square. Well, because I like it. Yes, it may be uniquely very feasible for you, but there's production issues. There's why? How many people are like you? So as an entrepreneur, you are here to satisfy a value demand by others. And you need to be able to see that. And then if you see a big problem, a worthy problem, then people would invest in you to create that means to that end, which is the solution.
Thank you. How important is it for someone to have a great self-concept? And if they have, let's say, a low self-concept where they feel, let's say, not worthy or not good enough in some way, how can they transform that to still be able to become a prosperous entrepreneur?
So here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you think something is worth it or not worth it. This may sound silly. It matters if they, the ones who are going to buy it, think that it's worth it or not worth it. So if you tell me, well, I don't think this is worthy, well, I'd say, based on what intelligence are you telling me that? Well, I just think that people wouldn't want this. Well, did you talk to 1,000 people or 100 people or 500 people? Did they say that they didn't want it? Did they say that I don't want this exactly, but I would love this? Where you just took this thing and say, this is my way or the highway? Or were you listening that there may be a modification form of this? That may be wonderful. So our decisions in a lot of times, again, if the buy is happening by somebody else, my decision of what looks good or doesn't look good is just the start. I can imagine that there's nothing wrong with imagining. But if I want to buy my thing myself, pay for it, create it, use it, reuse it, and be loyal to my own customer as my own customer, sure, I'm the only judge and the jury. But in a business, you have a lot of other people involved.
Are you saying that you shouldn't try to sell something that you haven't surveyed thousands of people about?
I'm saying that you shouldn't try to sell something. You should try. Again, you're an entrepreneur. You're unique. You could do whatever you want. You could try, but the probability, see, the job of an entrepreneur is to assess probability of progress, probability of achievement. Life is about risk and uncertainty. But if you just sit in your room and design something and you say it's good, and then, oh, I don't think it's good, so I'm not going to try it. No, you can try, but if you're trying to build a business, the people that matter are the people who buy it. Now, it depends what the product is. If it's something that you're sending I don't know, you're trying to build a shuttle that goes to the moon, well, the opinion of NASA matters. My opinion doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. If you're trying to sell, the nail polish, Again, my opinion that matters, but your opinion is fantastically, important. If you're trying to sell ties, well, maybe men wear ties, but women really appreciate it and buy it in most cases. So it depends whose opinion, and it depends if five opinions are important or 5,000 opinions are important. Again, the question is, if you have the buyer, the person who makes the decision, that person defines what is valuable. Now, here's one thing that a lot of early entrepreneurs make a mistake. And this idea of MVP, the minimum viable product. They define it based on how much money they have. They define it by what they were capable of doing. And that is wrong. It's viable to who? It's viable to them. So they have to decide what is the minimum viable. And they decide when they reach into your pocket and they pay you. That means it is now viable. Anything short of that is a dream, is an idea. So viability of an idea depends on acceptability of that the buyer and that transaction, that exchange that happens. If there is value, they're willing to exchange that value with your success.
Thank you. For those entrepreneurs wanting to raise millions so they can become a prosperous entrepreneur and make their business bigger, what change of mindset or what actions should they take to make this happen?
The first action is you need to put your naivete aside. Let me explain. 97% of entrepreneurs don't get into an accelerator, yet alone being raising money. Out of every 1,000, one raises money. Out of every 1,000 that raise money, one actually has a successful exit. That is 1 in 1,000,000. So I'm not discouraging you. I'm just saying that the reason the company is funded is because of a number of factors. A, is this a scalable business? An investor that gives you $1 million wants to take at least $10 million in 3 or 4 years. That means that this business has to be scalable. If you're selling donuts at a corner store, you can't take, That means if I give you $1 million, and let's say I take 20% of your company, right? Let's say I take 20% of your company. That means if you don't raise another dime and I want my million to be 10 million, that means your business has to be how much? 200 million bucks. Okay? It has to be 100 million bucks for me to be able to take 10%, my 10 million bucks. Is it achievable? So realistically assessing, and this is where awareness comes in. A lot of entrepreneurs, my business is worth 100 million. Last week, somebody sent me an idea. It wasn't a bad idea, but they were trying to raise $10 million at a $100 million valuation because they have an idea. Okay, ideas are the simplest things to do. They are the easiest things to do. The doing part is the difficult part. The executing part is the difficult part. So being aware of what it takes to do something, the challenges. Money is not a good motivator at 4 o'clock in the morning. At 4 o'clock in the morning, every night when the challenges happen, when that piece of code doesn't work, when that manufacturing thing doesn't work, when people aren't buying, money is not a good motivator for you to be able to push through. Investors know that. Entrepreneurs don't. Coachability is another factor. The reason they say coachability is, here's the thing. If you're at point A and you go to point B, you always take this road, the highway. I've been through that highway 7 times. I know that it gets crowded at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if it's crowded, you're going to lose gas and you're going to lose time. And that is money and time to market. An entrepreneur who hasn't done that believes that they know how to do it. Just give me the money and I'll do it. An investor knows that it is not possible, that they need guidance, that I don't want them to waste money learning. This is not a school. This is a business. We're going to get to the other side together. So acceptance of a partner, partnering with your investors, drives them to be able to do a better job. So realistically evaluating scalability, partnership, plans that are understandable and flexible, and the mindset that I have at one point I ran the largest angel investment entity in the United States. I've seen literally thousands of business plans to this day, and I've been doing this for a long, long time, decades. To this day, I have not seen a single business plan that has exited, has been successful the same way it was presented this first time. Not one. So what does that mean? That means the entrepreneur has to have the flexibility to evolve, has to have the mindset that it's not my way or the highway. It's not, I'm going to push through this. Resilience is different than resistance. And those are all mindset characters, by the way.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
So if they're interested in this fusing of mindset, and again, this is not a woo-woo thing. It's a very real, touchable, tangible thing. They can go to the Academy. It's anabasesacademy.org. And we have people who are paying it forward, and they would be sponsored. If they want to be committed and they want to really get in and evolve, so that's anabasesacademy.org. It's a very non-academic place where we collaboratively learn and provoke each other. My email is sid@mohasib.com, my first name at my last name. And if you can't find me in those things, you can Google me and you'll see hundreds of articles and hundreds of places that you can click through and get to me.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.